Good to see everybody out this morning. It's always wonderful to come together and to study, to worship, to uplift one another, to admonish each other for good being, to continue to help strengthen our fellowship with each other, and continue faith in the service of God. As we continue from day to day, we live one after the other, it can be easy to lose passion we have in our service to God. As the world continues to turn and seems to maybe get more corrupt and corrupt, or we might just continue, as I hear time and again how people keep saying the word for generation after, and what's going to be like in so many years. And so it's easy to see how one can lose that passion, lose that zeal that one would have. Again, I play sports. Still love to play sports if I can. But I play sports as long as I can remember. I know that I probably go back before first grade, but I know in first grade I started soccer. I know I played basketball and football. All the way through my senior year, I continued to play soccer. And junior year, I wrestled. And just continued to do one thing right after another. But there were time periods in between. The thought of taking a season off, the thought of just taking a break, and because you start to lose your passion, you start to keep your out, you start to keep it draining. And that can happen. That can easily happen, but I want to remind one another that we need to continue to be zealous in our faith to God. We need to continue to have a zeal and a drive to want to worship, to want to spread the good news, to serve our God, that each day, waking up, knowing we have the opportunity to be pleasing to God, knowing that He's blessed us with life, and just there's so much in which that we can be passionate about in our service to God. And so I wish to talk about that this morning, and I know it's not the first time talking about being zealous or just within lessons and bringing it out from time to time. But it's a good point to come back and to remind and to remember that there's sometimes we need to rekindle that fire as it might be dying out, to add some fuel, to add something to burn, and to push that fire further and let that light continue to shine. So the first thing I want to bring out is there's more reasons than what I'm going to be bringing out. There's reasons to be sex. There's reasons to be excited or to feel the desire to serve God, to be thankful, to be able to serve Him, to have that zeal for our God. And so, you know, come along with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and looking at verses 22 and 23, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Of course, here John the Baptist, his apostles, or his disciples, were trying to figure out if Jesus was the one that John was preparing for, and said, "Well, we see what you're doing." And Jesus was just trying to say, "Well, go tell them what you see and hear, and you know, that should prove who I am. That should tell you who I am, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Christ that would come after John." But the situation itself, as we think about all the scenarios where Jesus healed someone, all the miracles that were performed, all the stuff that we can study in the Old Testament, again, just studying Daniel as we are here in the adult class, you know, reading here in chapter 2 that we just finished up and talking about the great image and how it spoke and prophesied of the next three kingdoms to come after Babylon. And just to think that God, again, though He blesses us with freedom and we're able to make our choices each and every day, that He knows what is going to come. He knows the outcome of all things. And so He sees in the future and in all kinds of places. That when you truly take your time to follow all the prophecies throughout the Old Testament and how they were all fulfilled, and that's the God we serve.
That is the God in whom is in charge of all things. And we get to serve Him. And one day, if we're faithful, we can be with Him. And it's just how that doesn't drive one and excite us. You know, if you have the opportunity to serve someone who is great like that, if it was a worldly person, one would take that opportunity. They would jump at the opportunity to get down and talk and to serve and to help, to assist for a great cause, right? And so this is the God whom we serve. This is our Savior. And the Savior, it sets us free from our sin, from being slaves of sin, from the temptations that we face. First of all, we'll have those temptations, but He gives us the strength. He sets us free from when we have fallen. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, here it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from the that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And so again, John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Again, that the mindset of when we come to the understanding that Jesus can forgive, that His blood can cleanse you, that God will set you free, that we don't have these burdens on our shoulders anymore, that you don't have to worry about the sin of your past, that it's going to cause you to be punished, that you have to worry about what it's going to be like at the end of time. Because God sent you. Because you don't have to worry about hell no more. Because you don't have to worry about being punished. Because we put our whole faith in Jesus Christ. Again, that should be something that puts zeal in our heart, puts zeal in our passion to want to be quick to obey the gospel, to want to spread that to others. Let others know. You know that there is a way in which you don't have to worry. There's a way that your burdens, that your mind can be put at ease. How many are out there in the world today seeking somebody to help them, seeking for an answer, looking for the way out? Truly, the answer comes back to God, to our Lord and Savior, that no matter how bad things are here on earth, that God is there for us, that He can set us free, that He can put us on the right path. And then He prepares a home for us. In John chapter 14, looking at verse 2 here, John 14, verse 2, says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I mean, He says, "I go to prepare a room, a home, a mansion for you." And how that does not excite one to stand up and say, "Man, that sounds great, that sounds awesome, I'm excited, I'm zealous to get there. When are we leaving? When are we going? When?" Again, but you kids, I'm with you at some time, and you get to go to a place. Hotels are kind of, you're stuck in a single little room. All your children just doesn't always seem the most exciting. Kids just love going to a hotel. I don't know why. The host of baby getting into the pool, and even watching what's across the ages, there's nothing else to do because you're in one room. But they're excited about this small room that you're going to get with the whole thing. Right? They're excited to be even more when it's somewhere that you're going to have a bunch of things to do. Here it is. God, our Lord and Savior, said He's going to prepare a room for you in heaven. It's going to be greater than any vacation home, any mansion, any home that you have here on earth, that He's going to prepare. He Himself is going to prepare for us. How is that not something that just drives you? And you sit up and say, "Man, I can't wait. I want to get..." When we're here on earth and we start to make plans, then we have to start thinking, "All right, well, we're going to go to this destination. And we got to figure out where we want to stay. All right, we're going to stay here. This costs that much. We've got to start putting money aside. And, well, this is going to cost money to go over here and start, we're going to have to have food while we're there. We're going to have to pay for gas. everything that goes into the planning. So you start doing all these things, and then get whatever we need, and how much more time. When, do we do that here? Are we fellow sitting back saying, all right, God will be coming back any time. The Lord will return. And so I need to make myself ready today. I need to make sure I'm prepared. And I'm going to try to make sure that everything is ready to go. Kids just left yesterday. Headed up to Indiana. Boys going to camp. And then right afterwards, we're headed to Missouri. So she's, you know, my wife. But for most part, my wife is getting everything ready. And all the planning. And she's going through that checklist. Because, I mean, you got one camp, they got to take certain things to camp. This, the boys doing the pre-training, well, they have that certain thing for that. And then, you know, well, that happens after that. It's more do we have a checklist checked off to get to heaven? Are we sitting back and trying to make sure that we are getting everything prepared, that we're doing our part, that our family is prepared, that they're going to have everything they need for that day of judgment to give the answer to God? How passionate are we preparing for this home in heaven? And then we got our Lord and Savior who's always there. And how often is it that maybe you've fallen to a point that you just needed somebody to talk to, that you needed to trust, that was going to be there no matter what in your life? And Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Jesus here is saying, I am with you all. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We're told to pray without ceasing, to open up your Bible and study it daily. He's always there for us. How is that not something that we're so thankful for, that doesn't just drive you, knowing that He is there, knowing that when you have to go to work and you might be in a bad, or surrounded by people who are going to speak filthy, that are going to just set a bad example, you know Jesus is there. You know God is going to give you the strength, that He can help you get through your day. That if you are going through some suffering, that if you do have to get some checkups, that whatever the matter may be, God is there to comfort you. The God of comfort is there for you. Again, how that doesn't drive us to want to share it, to spread the good news, to tell others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, about our Father up in heaven, our Lord who wants to give us rest. And he's kind of going back up to that point of being set free from our sin, back to that point that He is there for us. He says, all who labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me. He said, come to me. And again, when you hear the Lord speaking to you, you try to picture that. Not that, again, you're not going to hear His actual voice speak to you. He does not speak to us in that way where we kind of brought out of his study of Hebrews. But if you can try to imagine Jesus speaking, saying, come to me. Why aren't we screaming? Why aren't we running to our Lord Savior, who is there with open arms ready to receive you? Why aren't we crying out to our Father up in heaven saying, heal me, forgive me, strengthen me. I want to be with you. There's so many reasons that we should be zealous as Christians, zealous about our faith, and just passionate and strong in our faith with the Lord. I also want to make sure that we understand there are many who aren't zealous in the name of God, but then without knowledge. They are zealous in the name of God, but then they go about it in the wrong way, and they take it, and they start to go, and they, so many people, again, you might say good intentions, good ideas, good thoughts, But then they don't have biblical authority through God's Word, in which He has given to us, and following the pattern that He has blessed us with, and have, so that we don't have to sit here and try to so hard to figure out, yes, we have to search it and find out and fight it correctly. So many get so passionate that they forget to check if it's right inside of God. Or they ignore it and say, well, it's for a good cause. You sit back and say, well, I see where you're going with that. I see why it would be good to do these things, but we have to do it the right way. So many get that passion. In Romans chapter 10, if you will, Romans 10, verse 1, Romans 10, and then verse 1. So it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. He says, I bear witness. They are zealous for God.
Maybe a lot of you think of people who are members of denominations out in the world today. You know that they have a passion to do good. They have a zeal to help others, and they want to spread what they believe to be the Word of God.
I'm a witness. I know that they have a zeal for God. But then read the next verse, but not according to knowledge. It means we can be zealous for God, but not in the right way. Not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of all for righteousness to everyone who believes. They are not zealous in the right way. They were smart to establish their own righteousness. They were zealous to do these things in the name of God and go forward and start practicing certain things, but for some who were holding the old law.
Fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through you, His grace to reveal His Son to me in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who are accustomed before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus.
Here Paul, he's starting to tell his story here. He said, I was more zealous than anybody. He goes, I was so passionate. I was driving. I was letting nothing get in my way. I went and dragged people out of their homes. I sent letters to other cities. I made sure that I was doing the work.
According to the traditions of mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, great grandma and grandpa, according to the traditions of my father. But again, this is what they were saying. This is how we serve God. This is the way we're supposed to do it.
And these others are going to destroy our faith. These others are blaspheming Moses and blaspheming our God.
And so he was so zealous. But when he received the truth, when grace was extended to him, changed his ways. He saw it up here that Christ is the Savior. And he didn't intend it to, but he made it a way to follow God in His righteousness and not the righteousness of men. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Galatians 4, 16 and 17 says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them.
And they hold you in back and they beat you and they want to get you fired, but they're doing this for what reason? So that you can fall faithfully to God, so that you can do the work of the Lord. They want you zealous. Go around saying, well, if you need help, go to preach to so-and-so, go to... Again, we preach to one another, we have days, and there are people that I might repent if you're looking for a certain day that do a good job. But it's for the glory of God. It's settled so that you can continue in righteousness, so that you can have a home in heaven, so that the kingdom can further.
King Saul got caught up in the wrong attitude again. He was zealous as he was striving to do what he and his mindset was thinking was right for the children of Israel. So here's 2 Samuel 21, verse 2 says, so the king called this day. So the king called to the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn protection to them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. So I worded that wrong, but in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah, for God's people, right?
And so you say, well, he's zealous for the right reasons.
But in his zeal, he took it upon himself and broke a covenant, broke a promise that he had made to these that they would protect him. The remnant that was left over of the Amorites, the Gibeonites,
they made a covenant. When God's people made a covenant, they were not allowed to break it. And so David had to continue on and says, how can we make this right?
You see how our zeal or passion, if not kept in check, making sure that it's going down the right path, can lead us to the wrong path. And you can go so fast and miss your turn. Right? You don't want to ever do that? Drive so fast and you miss your turn? We don't want to miss that exit. We don't want to miss out on getting to heaven. We need to make sure that we're following faithfully. Acts 21 and verse 20. Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. Here it says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many murders of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. They are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you, that you teach the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, but to walk according to the for moving in, or transitioning from the old law to the new covenant. And so it's hard to break that seal that they had for the law. So we need to keep our seal in check, make sure that it's right. That it's according to the Word of God, that we do have a righteous seal, because we're to be zealous and passionate. God also kind of gives us to be patient, long-suffering, just as He. So, I want to end the lesson looking at a few verses that show us that we need to be zealous. And the first one is that when we come to believe, when we come to see the truth, and we see the discipline of our God, that we repent of our sins as quickly as possible. And Revelation 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke, say, therefore be zealous and repent.
That as we study the Word of God, and you search the scriptures, or as you study in Bible class, or we do the lesson here, or we sing hymns, whatever it is, you come to that understanding that God has somehow revealed it to you, that you are in sin, that you have lied, that you have cursed, that you have caught up in sexual morality, that you have loved it, that you have done wrong. So when we come to God says we're not supposed to do this. God says stop and repent. And be zealous.
Or do we go, well, I'm already here, so
I'm already here, so what's going to harm go early? Rather, when we see that we are in the wrong, that there should be an immediate, we need to turn around, we need to get back on the right path, immediately trying to figure out how to get back on course with our Savior. No longer following in the footsteps of Him, but turning to Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 and verse 18. Galatians 4 and verse 18. And the preacher says, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. Not just zealous about God when we're here assembled together, but zealous for good works, good things always. Zealous to pray, zealous to study, zeal to teach others, to shine His light. Always. We should always be zealous to do good in service of our Lord. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Titus 2. And verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak, He says, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one stop you. As you read up and you get up to the point where God says He sells good works, don't see how you don't build up and you feel continuously through it. And He tells us about the grace of God, and He tells us about putting off sin, and He tells us looking forward to God and that hope that we have. And then He tells us again about His sacrifice, why He did it, so that we will be zealous. And so use that zeal to go forth and teach others. Even if it means zealous for good works, looking for the opportunity to assist and help and further the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. As it reads here, it says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek yourself.
Many were caught up again in the wrong mindset of just wanting those gifts who actually trying to force her. Right? He was zealous to receive the gifts, to be able to pass on the gifts over here. He offered up money to receive himself. He didn't have the right attitude about it. So he's saying here, if you are zealous for these, don't be zealous just so that you can say, well, look what I can do. And thinking that you're greater and mightier than others because the gifts will always serve upon you. But be zealous so that you can use these things to help your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that you can teach others so that they can come to the Word, that we're using these gifts to confirm the truth that we teach one another for the edification of the church. Again, here in Colossians, speaking of our zeal for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Colossians 4 and verse 12, as it reads here, says, Colossians 4. And we hear that Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, reach you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you. And those who are in Macedonia, Laodicea, and those who are in Cyprus. And so here he brings out, he says, he is zealous for you. He has a zeal for you. He desires the best for you. He wants to come and assist you. He speaks well of you. He wants to know what is best for you. He's zealous for the bread. He cares about that. Do we have that zeal for one another? Willing to make a big step and be quick to do it. when we see someone in danger, that we go and warn them. That when we see someone who has fallen, that we go and rebuke them. That we see those young ones that need to be taught, that we go and teach them. When we see it, do we run towards it? Are we zealous about it? Leave you with one last example here in Numbers chapter 25. And again, this would be more of the rebuking point as we come here, but in Numbers 25, here again, Israel has got caught up in doing wrong. God is punishing them. And there are those who are more cause for the reason that God is punishing them at now. And so here in Numbers 25, verse 11, says Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore I say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. If you don't know what Phinehas had done here, he went and grabbed his spear and struck someone else down. Because it is the cause of these people that God was punishing them, and many were dying. And so to stop it, he ran ahead and struck the person down that he was struck. So why? Because he was a zeal, of God. He saw the unrighteousness, he saw the sin that was corrupting the children of Israel, and even he didn't know what was needed to be done. He didn't step back and say, well, Moses is there. He didn't step back and say, Joshua is there. Caleb, he didn't wait for those top guys to do what was needed to be done. But he took care of it himself. And then he was rewarded for his sin. Are we zealous for God or the word that he has given to us? Are we passionate to go forward, continue to do good works? And if you are we doing it the way he has commanded us to do it? Before we have to self-study in his word to make sure that we're doing it correctly in the right path that he's given to us. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation to many who need to obey it this morning. We want to obey the gospel. But do you know that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you've got that feeling in your heart and in your conscience that you need to come forward and confess that faith, and that you need to come forward and be baptized and wash your sins away, come forward and make that confession and wash your sins. If you're here and you need prayer for congregation, or you need to be zealous for him and your sins, and you need to assist you in any way, please let us know what stands.
Would you be free from your burden?